Lord, we're so grateful to be here, really. It's just such a blessing to have a church family, to have fellowship, to have people that that we know that in general we're going to see a couple times a week, Lord. And in this busy world that we live in, it's good to know that there are familiar faces and people that we can worship you together with. I thank you for blessing our body. And I thank you that you've given us your presence, which is just so precious. We love your presence, Lord. And we want to be aware of your presence. We want to just be conscious of your presence. We want to be understanding that you say when there are two or three gathered in your name that you're with us. Just knowing that you're here, that as John said in the book of Revelation, that you are in the midst of the seven candlesticks, which are the church, the churches. And I just love, that's so great, Lord. And I pray that that tonight we can just really appreciate you and understand your greatness. I pray that you'd reveal more truth about yourself to us, to our hearts, Lord. We'd love to understand you in our minds and our intellect, but it's our heart, Lord, that you want. You tell us that, Lord. It's our heart. And let our hearts be right with you. Let our hearts be worshipful to you, Lord. Let our hearts be humble towards you. Let our hearts rejoice in you. Let our hearts be satisfied in you, Lord. And God, whatever troubles us today, let us remember that you promise to perfect that which concerns us, Lord. You promise that. And so we stand on that promise, and we stand on your word. Your word is truth. We stand on what you say against what society says or anybody else, because we know that you are tried and proven. Your word is tested, and it's come forth as pure gold over and over again, Lord. And so we believe and rest our hope in you and in the truth of your word. I just want to take a moment, if anybody would like to participate in praying before we start. We're just going to open it up here for a few minutes.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Amen. What was that, Alex, that you're, that something coming up for you?
Graduation.
Graduation?
Yeah.
You're graduating?
Yeah.
When is this?
May 12th, 13th, or something around in May.
Whoa. All right, Alex. Whoops. That's awesome, Alex.
Yeah.
Proud of you. That's awesome. All right, guys, so let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 148. So, as we mentioned last week, so the Psalms start off with blessing, right? And it ends with praise. And I really think that's the Christian life. It's blessing. We've been blessed with eternal life in Jesus Christ as Christians. We've been blessed with the forgiveness of our sins. Does that ever get old sometimes? That's something we really need to keep meditating on and celebrate and appreciate, that our sins are forgiven, eternity set in heaven. God is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. We have full access to the throne of God. We have everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. And God just continues to bless us with his presence and bless us with who he is. And we know as Christians, it's just going to get better and better and better. I got a text from Pam Hill. Some of you remember her. Jim and Pam Hill, they're at our church pretty much from the very beginning. And we needed somebody for children's church. And I think Kim was doing it at that time, right? So she moved into the youth. And they said they'd only do it temporarily until we found somebody. So 8 years later, they ended up moving to Washington back to be with their parents. But her father passed away. And so he was a believer, you know, so that was really encouraging. And just knowing about that, and he had Alzheimer's and was really struggling. But it's still hard. And Jim, her husband, he was on our board. And he used to say, he was the calming influence, I think, of the whole church. And I still even think, like, what would Jim do in this situation? So you could be totally freaking out, and Jim would be like, and he'd just have, like, the perfect answer for everything. And he would always say, one step closer to eternity. So, you know, that's really true, that we are all just one step closer to eternity. And just knowing that and living life and that understanding and that reality every day, the confidence that we have that everything's been taken care of so that we can worship God and serve God. And so as we look at these Psalms, I was thinking about this, and usually I do when I prepare a message or when I'm getting ready to speak, I think, when it's all said and done at the end of the message or whatever, I think, what would I, if I could wave a magic wand and do a magic wand whammy, what would I want the result of this to be? And I started thinking, man, I would just love so much if we just became people that was a community of people who just were praising the Lord. And then, you know, and then I'm studying and I'm like, that's how the psalm ends. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And I'm like, that would be so great. And that's what's going to happen. So one day that's going to happen in the millennial kingdom. Everything that has breath is going to praise the Lord. In God's creation, creation doesn't have a choice. Do you know that? To praise him? We're the only thing that God created that has a choice to praise him. That's pretty wild, huh? And so as we look at these Psalms, I pray that we'd be a community that would be a praising community, and that God would be seen in our midst. And praise is an amazing thing. I think it's a tool, an asset that God has given us. What it does is it raises us above this world, is what it does. Praise raises us above this world, because within praise incorporates faith. You have to have faith to praise the Lord. It incorporates prayer. It incorporates celebration. It incorporates understanding of who God is and what God has done. And as we praise Him, it'd be cool to do a study on this and to find out what changes in us, biochemically, how praise affects us, how it affects our body chemistry. I really believe there's a lot of studies about having a positive attitude and all that stuff, and you don't even have to be a Christian to do that, but I really believe praise for many of us is the answer to many of the things that we deal with, because it affects our whole attitude. It affects our joy. It affects our walk. It affects the way people see us. And so as we look at this, let's ask ourselves, maybe what is there something in my life that is a barrier to praising God with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength? I know that's not the scripture. The scripture said to love God with, but that's how we love God. That's the practical way that we love God, by praising Him. So is there anything in our way that prevents us from being these praisers of God? And then to think, is there something I can do to be better at praising God practically in my life? And those are the things I was asking myself. Like, what is it that maybe holds my heart back, or something where my heart's not fully in it? Because this is going to be our last night in the book of Psalms, which you've been in, I'm not sure exactly how long, but it's been a while. I think since 2014, for sure, somewhere in there. We called it The Depth of His Riches. And as we've gone through now, by the end of tonight, if I hurry up, we will have covered verse by verse, line by line, 150 Psalms. At the end of this, are we different? That's what I'm asking myself. I've personally taught here every single word that's in the book of Psalms. Am I different? How tragic would that be if I've done that and I'm not any different? My praise is the same. I don't even like thinking about that. So how have we changed? We have to be different as we get into God's Word, as we understand Him more. We've seen these psalmists walk us through, almost like we're reading their journal, walk us through their life and how they've gotten through their life to a place of praising God in every kind of situation and circumstance that we could ever think about and imagine. And then we see that in the New Testament. We see the application of that sort of thing with the disciples and the people that, you know, you see in the New Testament. They're working through these things through their relationship with God. So last week we talked about there's five different Hebrew words that we have in the Old Testament for praise. I'll just briefly review those. One is Hallel, the most common, and that means to celebrate or to boast. The second is Yada, and that means to worship with hands extended. There's so much in that. The implications are friendship, surrender. The next one was Barak, And that means to declare God as the source for power, victory, success, and prosperity. The fourth one was Shabak. And that means to shout loudly and commend. And then the last one was Gil, G-I-L, and that means to circle in joy. Ultimately, praise is celebrating God. Praise is celebrating God. How important. This is so important right here, what I'm about to say. This is something that I've discovered, and I've gone through different things about this in my own personal life and finally come to the conclusion. It is so important. I'll use the word vital. It is vital to enjoy our relationship with God. Sometimes we can feel like our relationship with God is a beating. Sometimes we feel like it's drudgery, it's boring, it's a struggle. Sometimes we feel like, well, I have to do this, but you know, if I couldn't do this, I'd rather do something else. It's so important, and we need first to have this in our own life, and we need to teach this to the younger people. Church, fellowship, gathering together, worshiping God, Bible study. These, when done in the Spirit, are opportunities to enjoy God. And it's important to enjoy God because ultimately we do the things that we love. It's hard to keep doing something you don't enjoy. Would you agree with that? It's hard. And a lot of times it comes down to willpower or discipline. And some people are more disciplined than other people. And there is, within Christianity, it's not a feeling thing, so there is some discipline to it. Sometimes you do things that maybe you not feel like it because we're in the flesh, but it's so important that we enjoy our relationship with God. And God is very enjoyable. That's what I get when I read through the Psalms. I get all these things about delighting in the Lord and just how awesome God is and these expressions of how passionate the psalmist wanted to worship God. And I just really think that Christianity in our country, especially Western Christianity, needs to come back to a biblical understanding of God, which brings about a celebratory response to God. To know God correctly is to celebrate Him, to be in awe of Him. So keep that in mind as we look at these psalms. They'll go pretty quick. I mean, I can draw anything out, I've learned, but they should go pretty quick. And something I want to keep in mind, too, is this is why I wanted to reverse the order. As we go through these psalms, be thinking about, we're going to have the opportunity then to put this in practice and really worship the Lord when we're done. And just really come before Him and practice, I guess, these things. So, Psalm 148, and I'm going to call this one, Praise His Name. Whenever the Bible talks about His name, that is His nature. So it's not just like somebody praising a name. It encompasses all of who God is. That's why Bible study is so important. The deeper that we understand God is the deeper that we can praise and the more resources that we have in our toolbox to praise God, the more things we can praise God for. So we won't run out of things to praise God for. So watch what he says. So here we go. Guess what he says? Hey, praise the Lord. We see that a lot, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts, which is a reference to angels and the organization of angels. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. So like in the clouds, the waters that are above in the clouds. So this praise is an all-encompassing praise. Picture this now, what's going on. So you know how sometimes we kind of confine worship to a sanctuary or a time, a meeting or gathering, which those are very good. But from this, and what we're going to see a little bit more, that we get this idea that the whole world is a sanctuary and that God's on his throne. And the whole, so the sun is praising God. And I don't know exactly how that happens, but that's happening. The stars are praising God. So we're caught up on earth. We are caught up in the largest gathering of worshipers that there are. And side by side with us is the sun and the waters and the heaven and the clouds and the atmosphere. And he's going to go on and explain that. So picture that. That brings a whole other meaning to worshiping God. He says in verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. So now he gives a reason. And it's a reason of natural order. So it's natural for us to praise God because God created us. God is the source of all that we see. He's the source of everything. He's the creator of everything. Do you know, men, human beings, we don't create anything. We just sort of reorganize what God's already made, right? God made everything out of nothing, zero. And he spoke it into being, and it came into being. And then here we come, and there's all this stuff, and we just kind of arrange it, and we go, oh, look how creative that person is. And people are creative. There's some amazingly creative people in here. But we don't create like God does. God is the ultimate creator. And I just love to think about that, that creative people, he gives the opportunity to take the stuff that he created, which he is very creative. Think about it. Think about the animal kingdom. And think about so many different weird animals. You know, like an elephant has a trunk and a giraffe has a long neck and the different colors that they have and the lions and the lionesses. Think about the chimpanzees and the gorillas and the birds and all the different birds. There's so many animals that we don't even know about. And it's God's so creative. And I think it's important for us to really to be open to creativity. That God would take our own personal bents and differences in the way he's made us. And that we would express that and use that. So much of the creativity a lot of times is missing, I think, today. Is because our creativity is watching people be creative. So we just watch creative things. And we watch a lot of fake things, a lot of, through media and TV. We watch things that aren't real. And I really think if we would spend more time with the Lord and seek God's face, that we would be a bouquet of creativity in whatever thing that we do. And I think that's important because God's a God who likes to take all of our resources, who we are, and use it for his glory, whatever that may be. So he says in verse 6, he says, for he established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds. Think about how crazy all that stuff is. That's one of the great things I like about living in Texas. The weather is just so interesting. It really is. In California, it's pretty much the same all the time. It's like 72 all the time. And a lot of people say, wow, it's just, how do you deal with that weather out there? It's awesome. I've never seen thunderstorms like that. They're so crazy, it even burned my parents' house down. I've never seen hail. Sorry. Get a spanking later. Yeah, that never happened. But you had mudslides, though, too. But you think about that. And here it just, that's why I think the psalmist wants us to get is this the creativity of the Lord. But think about this. The psalmist is writing this. So think about how the psalmist thinks. Think about the depth of his thought process, and think about what he's looking at and how he's seeing everything in the light of God and seeing God through creation, and his mind is just going through all this variety from the animal kingdom, from the natural kingdom, and all the things God's created, and it's causing him to just want to praise the Lord. It's causing him to have a deep appreciation for who God is. And I caught on to that, and I just thought, how cool is that? What if we tried to write a psalm? We could do that, right? Go home, and if you have a journal or something, try to write a psalm. Have you ever tried to write a proverb? That is hard to do. That is really hard to do. And you think we're going to get into the Proverbs here pretty soon, and you think, that is really hard to do. But what if we just took time and began to pray and allow God to give us poems and proverbs and catchy sayings and things that would glorify the Lord? I think that's a thing that can be really missing today, is just really great writing and poetry and really the depth of understanding who God is, and then to put it out there for other people to enjoy it. But that takes quiet time with the Lord. It takes long meditation upon who God is, long meditation in his word. And that can be a struggle if our attention span's really short. But let me just say this, don't let that be an excuse. Because the Bible says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The Bible says nothing is impossible with God. So if you say, man, it's hard for me to read my Bible, and it's hard for me to journal, it's hard for me to pray. Well, okay, just start there. Start there. But don't stay there. Because we have a God that made the world. I think he can expand our attention span. Especially when our attention span is spent on him. So verse 7. Oh, where do we end up? Verse 9. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth. Here's the animal kingdom moving into the human kingdom. And all the peoples, princes, and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. That's key right there. So if we live our life with an intention of being praiseful, what it does is it really takes us, it takes our life above the things of this earth. You know how easy it is to have a troubling thought, And just to continue to milk that thought. So until that thought begins to really cause us to feel terrible and depressed and discouraged. Praise takes us above all that stuff. Because when we're praising God, what we're doing is we're putting whatever it is that's weighing us down, we're putting that thing in its rightful place in proportion to who God is. Our thing, which may look so big without considering God in the situation, looks so small when we begin to consider God in the situation. Praising and having that as something that is really woven into our being takes us to a place where we can persevere and endure well with joy, because we understand that God is much bigger than our thing, much, much bigger than our thing. So he says in verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. And he has exalted the horn of his people, which means the strength of his people, specifically talking about the children of Israel. The praise of all his saints. So we can include ourselves, because if you're a Christian, you're a saint. Of the children of Israel, the people near to him. And then he ends off with what? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So Psalm 149. So this psalm shows us that praise is actually a weapon against the enemy. One thing that Satan hates, one thing that turns Satan upside down, is praise. Satan can't handle praise, you know that? I think one of the reasons is because Satan was a music director of the angels, and he is fallen, and our praise is a continual reminder of his fallenness. He hates us praising. That may be why Satan puts so many things in our path to distract us or disturb us from praising him. You know, petty arguments and petty disagreements and focusing on little trinkets and little things that, and then we get all upset and we're not praising. And Satan presents these things to us over and over again to disrupt our praise. And God, on the other hand, has promised to take care of all the things that concern us in life, so we're free to praise him. So remember that. And think about, is this a thing that's preventing me from praising God? Is this a thing that I'm getting so agitated about? It's occupying my mental and emotional energy so much where I don't even want to praise God, or I just can't even lift my voice to praise God. That's Satan. He hates it when we praise God. So notice this. So praise is a weapon. So he starts off by saying what? Yes. Praise the Lord. He has an exclamation point in my Bible after that. So let's try that again. Praise the Lord. Yes. That section. They got Nancy and Alex. So they're really stacked. They're stacked over there. They're loaded. Sing to the Lord a new song. That's so important, guys. It's so easy for us to get stuck in a rut. And he says, sing to the Lord a new song. The Holy Spirit, he's a fresh wind and a fresh fire. The Holy Spirit breathes new life in us. And it's so important that we just follow the Holy Spirit. We don't have to follow trends and what the world says. We don't have to concern ourselves with all those things. But if we just follow the Holy Spirit, there will be a freshness about us, a freshness about our life, a freshness about our witness, a freshness about our relationship with God. And God knows that's important, because we do. We get bored really easy. But we get bored when we're not sensitive to, surrendered to, and following the Holy Spirit. When we do that, things get really exciting. God stirs things up. He brings people in our path. He illuminates scriptures to us. He opens doors. He closes doors. He reveals amazing truths about himself. And so it's so important when he says a new song, don't bypass the importance of the newness that God brings to our life and the importance of not just getting stuck in an old way. The Bible talks about how if we put new wine in an old wineskin, that's going to be a problem. New wine expands. And if you put it in an old wineskin, which is not expandable, not flexible, not moldable or shapeable, that's a problem. Sometimes, I've noticed, we can worship a past experience. We can worship something that God used to do. We can worship a way that something was done. We can worship a church ritual or a church program. There's all sorts of things. We can worship that instead of just worshiping Jesus. When we just worship Jesus, then we have a flexibility with what Jesus may be wanting to do. When Jesus came to the earth, he did so many new things. The Pharisees and the Sadducees about blew a gasket. You're healing on the Sabbath? They couldn't even handle it. You're going places with prostitutes and tax collectors, and look at what your disciples are doing. They're doing things all wrong. This doesn't fit the mold. This isn't the way. The religious establishment was saying that to the creator of the universe. When we follow Jesus, there's a simplicity to that that's really beautiful. There's a freshness to it. And there's a life to it. Jesus brings us new life. So that's why it's so important to follow the Holy Spirit and not listen to all the outside noise, meaning don't let society or what somebody else is doing or what other places are doing, don't let that dictate to you what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. So that is so key to understand. He says, and praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. And that was really the whole plan of God, wasn't it? That God wanted Israel just to worship God. And Israel got in trouble when they would worship other things, right? Or go away from that simplicity. But it's always about that simplicity. Remember, it's always about a relationship with God. That God would be our portion. Ask yourself, am I just completely satisfied with God himself? Or am I in need of artificial stimulation to keep me going? And let me just say, Jesus is all you need. He really is. And when your heart is restless, you don't need something outside of God. You just need God. There may be some area or something where you're not surrendered to God. You may be fighting God. There may be sin in your life. I don't know. But just remember, it's God that you need. He is the satisfier of our heart. So, understanding that, that's what God was working with the children of Israel to get them to understand. So it says, let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel, which is a tambourine, and a harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Whoa. Do you see that? So, you know how sometimes you can, maybe it's hard to express to God how you feel, or have you ever just wanted to hug God? So I just wish I can hug him. The way we interact with God, the Bible tells he takes pleasure in us. And when we praise him, we're fulfilling the purpose in which he made us. When we praise God. At the end of the day, which means at the end of the end, all of everything will praise God. In the millennial kingdom, everything will be praising God on earth. When we get around the throne of God, there's going to be such intense praise. Can you even imagine what that's going to be like? Just praising God. But see, that's the way God created us. So we are functioning in the way that God created us when we're praising him. Just by the act of praising him. And the Lord takes pleasure in that. Then he says he will beautify the humble with salvation. That is to think about that. The beauty of the Lord will come forth in the things of salvation. And that basically means for us, it means that it's the things of the Spirit. So God's beautified in what he did to save us. And then as we walk in the Spirit, there will be a song in our heart. Did you know that's a good sign of what's going on in your heart? There's a song in your heart. If you're just bopping around the house. There's a song in your heart. There's joy in your heart. You're praising the Lord. And when that's going on, there's a beauty that comes from that. And I know you guys know what I'm talking about. You've seen people. They're so beautiful because of their relationship with God. Their relationship with God beautifies them. And the crazy thing about that is that God beautifies, he gives us beauty for our ashes. That's what God does. That's the amazing thing, that he takes something so wretched, vile, and ugly and makes it beautiful. That's the grace of God. He says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. That's pretty intense, right? Please get all this in. Because this is a very expressive, radical thing going on. There's praising brings so much joy, so much fulfillment, so much satisfaction that a person, when they're going to bed, they're shouting out to the Lord. When they're waking up, they're shouting out to the Lord. They're just praising the Lord. They don't care. They just don't care. And you know, sometimes we get just so stressed out and worried about being embarrassed, or what are people going to think, or what if people start rolling in the aisles and swinging from the chandeliers, which we don't have to worry about. I think we can all learn to be a little more expressive in our worship and a little less reserved in our worship. If David can dance in his underwear, no, you can't do that here. You might want to do it at home. Don't do that here. Jerry might get on you. The point is, when we worship the Lord in song here, this is what I'm asking myself. Am I really worshiping the Lord? Or am I thinking what I have to do after? Or I'm thinking what happened before? Or I'm thinking about the person next to me or behind me? Am I really worshiping the Lord? And we're going to do this in a minute. And we're going to have the opportunity. And I think this is a chance for us to all grow. And don't manufacture something. Just worship the Lord in your own way. How the Holy Spirit leads you to do that. And I think God wants to grow us in this area. So he says in verse 6, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. So here's the weapon of praise, how praise, especially in the two-edged sword, in the book of Hebrews, it says that God's word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, a comparison there. So we see the power of taking God's word and using that to praise God and how it defeats the enemy. This is so powerful. It says, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all the saints. Praise the Lord. So think about that spiritually. Think about that, how we fight against the weapons that are not flesh weapons, not people weapons, but the weapons of our warfare are spiritual. That we fight against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age. And praise in and of itself is a dagger to Satan and the hosts of the fallen angels. Praise the Lord, right? So we have 7 minutes and we have our last chapter. Last chapter of the book of Psalms, and this goes really fast. And I'm just calling this one a praise culture. This is my heart's desire with our church community, that we would be a culture, a core value in our church would be that we would be praising Jesus, just so praising Jesus. And we just don't even have time to get involved in the gossip and the muck and the dirt and all this. We're praising the Lord. Would you rather praise the Lord or gossip? Really glad you said that. Would you rather praise the Lord or complain? Really glad you said that. How about we praise the Lord instead of all that other stuff? Do you think God would be glorified in that? Okay, so this one's going to go really fast. Guess how it starts? Good, that's good. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament, which the firmament is like the atmosphere, the clouds, that area. Do you see how the whole world is the sanctuary to praise God? I really like that thought. To think of Jesus on the right hand of the Father, and I just think that the whole world is a church service. And I just really like the thought that the creation's joining in and we're praising the Lord. He says in verse 2, praise Him for His mighty acts and praise Him according to His excellent greatness. So two things he gives us there that'll help us praise. So we can think about the amazing things that God has done, His mighty acts. That's one thing that we've seen the psalmist praise God for. So we can think of just creation as creative acts. We can think of how he's done things with the nation of Israel. Just think of all those stories and all those great things that God has done. We can think about the work of Jesus. We can think about the early church. We can think about the disciples, and we can think about beyond that. We can think about church history. We can think about how we got our Bibles and how we have our Bibles and how God has kept and maintained his witness on the earth for all this time. But then we can think about what has God done in my life? What mighty things has he done in my life? You can start with being saved and work from there. So those are things we're praising God for. See, do you see? If the Bible says to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You guys know that one? So that means we're not to allow our minds to go off thinking negative things, bad things about ourselves, about people. We're not to have a polluted mind. One of the best ways to do that is to use our minds to praise God instead. So whenever you're tempted to think bad about somebody, to think bad about yourself, to think negatively about a situation, just start praising the Lord. That's the answer to that. So he says in verse 3, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. And praise him with clashing cymbals. So it sounds like God's kind of into rock and roll to me. But how does it get within the church, first of all, where it says, well, you're not supposed to use instruments? How do you come up with that? There's some churches believe you can't use instruments. And then how do you just put off a certain style of music? I understand we don't want the influence of the world in the church. But God's not all, you know, restrictive to you have to have this real fine, narrow bandwidth of the way you have to worship. When I'm reading this, I'm hearing clashing cymbals and loud noises, and I'm hearing all sorts of different instruments. So we need to be really careful that we just don't get so married to a style or a thing that in the end, it's just not biblical. If we're praising the Lord, it doesn't matter. For praising the Lord, it really doesn't matter. What matters is what? Yes. What matters is, are we praising the Lord? Or are we like, just complaining about the worship? Or are we praising the Lord for the worship? Big difference, right? Whew, you ready to finish this? I can't believe we're finishing this. So, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Yes. Let's say that last verse all together. Starting at let. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. All right, let's do that. We're going to pray, and we're going to praise the Lord. Father, thank you so much for your word and your truth. Thank you for your victory on the cross. Thank you for so much we have to celebrate, so much we have to rejoice in. Lord, we don't have time to get involved in complaining and negative talk and gossip and back. We don't have time because, Lord, there's so much to praise you about. So let us be a praiseful people. And let us, Lord, be those in whom you take great pleasure in. As we worship you, Lord, take great pleasure in our offering to you tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. How about we stand? You can sit if you have trouble standing too, but do you know when to end? Do you have a...
We'll just do all four.
Okay.
We're just going to wait for 1 second. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing a song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be seen when the evening comes. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, I worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name.
You're rich in love.
You're rich in love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to fall. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. His holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name.
And on that day,
and on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, His holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name, I worship Your holy name, yes, we worship Your
seated for this one.
compares to your love and grace, the light of the world.
God, we thank you for tonight, and we thank you for just giving us this time of worship, God, that we can come here and mix things up a little bit, and you still make it awesome, God. And we thank you for the book that we just finished, God. I pray that even though it took a really long time to get through it, God, that just means we got more in depth in it, and hopefully we grew more from it, God. And I pray that we'll continue to grow through the next books that we go through and the next chapters, God. And we just thank you, and we pray that you'll put a blessing on Sunday morning. Amen. All right, we'll see you all on Sunday morning.